Jee, we are IMFs. Shouldn't forget who we beholden to, the IMF and the donors. So that's the policy that we've achieved in the last 70 years. We should congratulate ourselves. Please follow the rules. Mute your mics, Abhi. Let's not hear about your family. Let the speaker speak first, and then, of course, later we'll have questions. Everybody asks questions. That's a routine here. And certainly, we don't want to be like Hamid. We just want an informed discussion. We work very hard to arrange these panels. So let's hope we can make it. And as I'd like to remind you that this is for really the academic community and for students to try and understand and try and develop new leaders in universities, because in the pitches of the South, universities could sacrifice kar diya, and we are seeing the results of that in COVID, ki university bichari kuch bhi nahi kar rahi is cheez pe. So theek hai, that's our policy, but we'll bear that in mind. Achha, now today we've got a great webinar for you on competition and markets. We've got Khalid Mirza, who's well-known, former chairman of Securities Exchange Commission, as well as Competition Commission of Pakistan. And he's recently been in the news as well, but we'll come to that later. A well-known person in competition, as well as securities, financial analyst, so it should be good to hear from him. Then we've got Joseph Wilson, a former member of the Competition Commission, as well as now teaching at McGill University. Joseph is one of the few people who's done serious competition work, his PhD in this, on this subject, and knows a lot about it. Then, of course, we've got Bukas Mir, another very competent, very important competition lawyer, probably one of the few competition lawyers in Pakistan who knows his subject very well, who's worked in the drafting of the competition law. So I think it would be very good to hear these people speak, and we can learn from them. And some of our researchers will hopefully write this up, as we do all webinars, and put it out for you. Okay, just quick recall, because I think it's important to bear in mind. Remember where we are, our begging and our aid policies, which are firmly in place, which we do very well. And we hope that we'll make it through begging. This is the history of a fund program, which I show you every time, which is very important. Every decade, we've had more than one fund program, even two fund programs. We are beholden to the fund, the emergency ward of the world. So we keep going to the emergency ward. I mean, I just discovered this on Twitter, and Naseem Saab also sent it to me, and other people too. This is a cartoon from 1950. It seems that our forefathers did not forget. They actually noted that the 600,000 that the US United States government gave Pakistan in 1950, four-point technical assistance program, was really meant to keep us where we were. As the gentleman, the US people from the window are saying, this should prevent him from learning to walk. He'll always need our help. And I think they succeeded, even though this is a cartoon, but it seems to be true. Our long-run growth, you've seen this before, please remember it. It's declining. Yes, it's declining, and we should think about it, but who cares? Our savings rate is low, but not as low as, you know, regionally, yes, but India, compared to India, China, yes. But otherwise, Bangladesh, etc., we are in the same league. But here's the problem. Our investment rate is extremely, extremely low. I mean, it's the lowest probably in South Asia, and maybe, I can check Africa, maybe even there. So this is the backdrop. This is why we are holding this, because competition is required and competition is important. So that's very good. In the previous webinars, we saw that, and Khalid Mirza were there, many people, that capital markets don't exist. They are pretty bad. And this will be taken up here again today. Stock market is shallow, not enough script, etc. Bond markets don't exist. They're only government, and the banks are the bond market. So it's bizarre. I mean, it's a very strange market. We should remember that. We also talked to the corporates. We also did investment. We learned about that, and we learned that the Sikh culture is widely held. We talked about human capital, and we found that there's no professionalism in the country, neither in the private sector nor in the public sector. Private sector, some multinationals, maybe. Some large private, yes, but otherwise, no. There is no R&D at all. In fact, one of the leading HRM experts and consultant told us, in this country, we don't want R&D, period. There is no hunger for growth. Our companies really don't want to grow. The good to great story or build to last story doesn't hold here. Nobody's building a legacy. Everybody's doing piling up money. And the culprit is the government. Government has a bad, distortive tax policy, a bad regulatory policy, a volatile fiscal policy, mini budgets, and a reactive policy. There is a huge business unfriendly environment everywhere. There's a suspicion of profit. So these are the things that we learned in the last few webinars. Our regulation is captured non-professional, are also confused. Our stock market, as former CEO said, is run through the bedroom of a broker. So trust everywhere is missing or gone. And one of the reasons that we look to competitive markets is that they do create some kind of an trust as well as a background for people to invest. So let me begin with Khaled Mirza. Khaled, you set up the Competition Commission. My first question to you is, why would you want markets to be regulated? Where I went to in Chicago, they said, don't regulate markets. Markets work very well in their own. You also set up the CCP, the Competition Commission of Pakistan. And the Competition Commission of Pakistan has really not gone anywhere. So can you give us a kind of set up the conversation now? Tell us why the markets need regulation. Why are Pakistani markets so, if they need regulation so bad? And what is the Competition Commission doing? So set this stage so that we can go further. Over to you, Khaled.
So I think he's facing some issues with the audio or video. Mathur is in contact with him. He's fixing it.
Okay. Joseph, sir, would you like to begin with this then? Joseph? Is Joseph there?
Yes, can you hear me now?
He's here, sir.
Go ahead.
Sir, thank you very much for organizing this webinar. I think we need to have these kind of seminars more often than not. So, thank you for...
I can speak...
Tell him, Mirza Sahib. Mirza can start.
I can speak, but you can't see me, okay? I don't know.
No, we can see you. We can see you fine.
You can see me? Okay, fine.
Go ahead.
Okay, right. Now, first of all, you know, I would like to thank you for calling me, and I don't quite understand. I'll explain to you why I don't quite understand why. But, you know, this is, you put two very broad questions in this announcement of the webinar, right? And frankly speaking, I don't feel intellectual enough to answer those questions. I mean, CCP was not set up to regulate and monitor the efficient working of markets. Like the best competition commissions in the world, okay, its purpose was to try to promote within the scope of the law free competition in commercial and economic activity to enhance economic efficiency and to protect consumers from anti-competitive behavior. Now, that was the purpose of CCP. Now, although the market does come into to it, but not the way you put it. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. Now, this actually begs the question as to why I have been asked to speak. As one of the first speakers, in fact. And this reminds me of the time when I was asked in the year 2009 to preside over a full day session at the annual competition conference of OECD in Paris. And the subject was the day long session, and the subject was corruption in public procurement. Now, I remember when I was asked over the telephone to speak there, to preside over that, that I said, why me? I mean, I know nothing about public procurement, number one. Number two, you're talking about corruption, and according to Transparency International, we are amongst the most corrupt countries in the world, so I'm not sure what I can contribute. Now, I was told, no, and you know, normally they have people presiding over who are from the OECD countries. So they said, well, you know, we are asking you because we think that you are a persona institute, whatever that meant. Now, if that has motivated you to ask me, then it's fine. But if not, then it would be rather disconcerting because I may not be equal to what you've asked. Nonetheless, I'll say my piece. that leaving these questions aside, okay, I intend to give my perspective, if you like, of competition, the Competition Commission, and its role in strengthening the marketplace. Now, that's the basic format that I have in mind. Now, right up front, I think it's important for you to remember that CCP is a quasi-judicial, quasi-regulatory law enforcement agency. And I'd like to emphasize the law enforcement part. It's the law enforcement agency. It's like the competition police. Now, it is not an economic research agency, albeit necessarily related to its law enforcement. It has to undertake targeted economic research related to its law enforcement, as I said earlier, and also to generally identify competition vulnerabilities to assist it in its work. So this is the first thing that I wanted to, you know, start off with, because I want to make my, you know, the whole ambit clear. Now, we have to bear in mind that we are talking about a market-based economy. And it is necessary to ensure in such an economy that the rights and interests of all economic agents are protected in a fair manner and compete with each other on a level playing field. This expression, level playing field, is endemic throughout competition law and policy. Okay, that, and it is the proper implementation of competition norms that is essential if, as Mrs. Thatcher put it, the magic of the marketplace is actually to work and show beneficial results. Now, it is noteworthy that economic efficiency and consumer protection are the two motivating pillars of modern competition legislation. And it is the consumer protection aspect, which has, with its all its populist overtones, is the one that comes to mind whenever one talks of competition law and policy or antitrust. But however, it must be remembered that when we talk about the consumer, we're talking about consumers up and down the supply chain. What is hidden from view is the fact that modern competition laws really promote and facilitate business growth, and their main beneficiaries are business enterprises. It would be wrong to assume that the reference to consumers in competition law, or for that matter, in competition laws of other jurisdictions, is only with respect to the lay consumer at the retail or individual level. Let me try to explain this, that business enterprises sit on both sides of the demand and supply equation. They are producers and suppliers, as well as consumers. I know for a fact, since I have actively promoted foreign direct investment into the developing countries during the approximately 2 decades I was with IFC, that the foreign strategic investor or the foreign technical investor in a joint venture in any country would very much like to see an adequate and properly enforced competition law and a level playing field within which to operate. The absence of an effective competition regime is now universally regarded as constituting a grave lacuna in the investment climate of that country. Now, in 2007, the government set up the Competition Commission of Pakistan, called the CCP. It replaced the old Monopoly Control Authority, which was set up under an antiquated law in 1970, the Monopolies and Restrictive Trade Practices Ordinance. And opposed to the MCA, or the Monopoly Control authority. The CCP is actually designed to be a state-of-the-art, quasi-judicial, quasi-regulatory law enforcement agency that penalizes, that investigates and penalizes anti-competitive behavior, anti-competitive conduct. Like, for example, abuse of dominance, that is a party with economic power, if it abuses its position, and that's defined in the law, or that if there is a few enterprises that behave in collusive, that behave collusively or into what is called cartelization. And so that's the other thing that it acts against. Now, in addition, most importantly, the commission is expected, like any modern competition agency, to promote and encourage sound norms of competition through advocacy and promotion. That is, it tries to enforce norms of competition through means other than law enforcement as well. Now, this law, the Competition Act, under which CCP has been set up, is based on the principles embodied in the Treaty of Rome and global best practices. We're talking about Articles 101 and 102 after the Lisbon Amendment of the Treaty of Rome, which used to be 81 and 82, and before that 85 and 86, and if you go back even further to the European Coal Treaty, 65 and 66, and it's a long chain over which they have come, and those are the principles which are embodied here. The Commission is mandated to enforce competition in all spheres of economic activity. Okay, in order to, and whether it is lawful, unlawful, whether it is regulated, unregulated, and the whole object is to enhance economic efficiency and promote the consumer.
Can we come to this a little later? Let me bring in the others. We'll also pick up the details in a little while. Okay. So let me bring in Joseph Saab. Joseph Saab, can you please tell me? I still haven't got from Khalid. Why?
You didn't hear me.
Sorry? Can you hear me?
I said you didn't hear me.
No, so I heard. From me.
Yeah. No, carry on.
I still haven't got this. The question that I want to know, Joseph Saab. Why do we need market regulation? After all, markets do tend to regulate themselves. And in particular, Joseph Saab, since you study competition, why do we need a competition law? Because many countries operate without a competition. So is there any reason then why we have a competition law? And then what has the CCP achieved by competition the last 15 years? Joseph Saab, over to you.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Hug, for this seminar. Your question, why we need CCP in the first place, and it's just like saying that you have two teams playing football and we need to have a referee. The thesis that market tend to cure market failure itself is correct to some extent, but not always, especially when there is collusion taking place. So the competition law primarily is focused on ensuring that market power is not abused. And this market power is sometimes procured through illegal means, that is cartelization, when you do collusion, you gain market power. Or you gain market power through your own efficient skill sets and you become a dominant player. And that's how you get. So these are the two main substantive provisions, that is cartelization and abuse of dominance, mm-hmm. that the competition agency tend to ensure that this has not been abused. So to that extent, I think I have answered your question.
I'd like to add something here. Sure. First of all, this is not a regulatory agency as such. You talked about regulation. This is actually a law enforcement agency. It is like saying, should we have the police or should we not have the police, right? And there are 120 countries in which you have competition law. All the important countries have it. In fact, the ones which are not important also have it indirectly. So it's something you can't get away from. That's my basic answer to you. I'm not saying whether we have performed well or not. That's a different question. I would have addressed it had you allowed me to complete my remarks.
Makasab, you work on the legal side. Is a competition law okay? What is it? I mean, is it as Khalid says, 120 countries? Is it similar to the other laws? I've seen that in the SSTP and NEPRA, etc., that you keep stamping and changing the law. Has the government changed the law at all? Is it a law that we should have? Should the Competition Commission be a quasi-judicial body, or should it be just a pure regulator? Because I still don't understand the concept. Can you clarify it a little, please?
Sir, this is a question to me.
Yes.
Do we need to change the law?
Vakas Mir.
Acharya.
Vakas Mir here?
I saw him.
I think he's probably having mic problems. Chale, Joseph Saab, you can get
it. Go ahead, Joseph.
Ji. Do we need to change the law? Probably not. The law is the one we have right now in the books is very modern and efficient, and it should stood the test of time. Although you need to keep on changing the regulations to reflect the market realities. For example, up just COVID, we now have this pandemic, and the market situations are very different. That would have an effect on market players, and that would also have an effect the way the competition agencies would look at, for example, mergers and acquisitions. Because of this pandemic, a lot of companies would fail, and there is a failing firm defense which is within the competition regime in the mergers and acquisition. Now, do we need to change that? No, but the agency would need to reflect on the market situation, that the parameters which were set before this pandemic would be different than parameters which they need to look in the current realities. So to that extent, there is a change that comes within the enforcement. Khalid Saab?
But not in the regulations. It's a change that comes in the way in which you enforce. Not in the regulations.
Right, not in the regulations.
Yeah, the law is really state of the art. I don't think you need to change the law.
So what are the principles you're using for competition? As far as I can see, competition is really. What are the principles of competition? What does your law say?
Principles of competition.
What are you looking for? What are you actually
We are looking at market agents operating on a level playing field without having any undue advantage over one another, so that the market actually works. What you talked about when you were in the planning commission. I mean, unless the market works, if people abuse one another, the market won't work. If you've got to get that to happen.
My training is that the markets work unless the government interfere. And when I look at Pakistan...
No, we are not interfering. This is what insured that does it.
Wait, my question. When the government operates in the automobile market, the market doesn't work. It's the government interfering. When the government operates in the sugar market, it doesn't work. It's the government interference. When the government operates in the agricultural market by setting crop prices, it doesn't work. So essentially, the market is not working. It's that the government is interfering.
Yes, but that is not. You have to look at the Competition Commission, what it can do and what it can't do. Okay, the fact of the matter is it has to operate within the law. And there is, of course, there's industrial policy of the government. If the government determines certain areas or certain aspects to be outside the competition. It can't intervene there. It's only those areas which it is left free to operate in which it can be if effective. You see, if it's not for the Competition Commission to determine what it should do other than what it can do. So now we can tell the government, you let the market be free. Indeed, we have done that in many instances. But if the Competition Commission can only operate within the scope that is given to it to operate, that is where the government has not intervened. If the government has intervened, then in whatever area it has intervened, the Competition Commission has no role there. The only role it has is where the markets are let free to operate.
So in that case, quite frankly, is Vikas Saab here or not? I'd like to bring Vikas Saab in if he's around. Vikas Meer, are you here?
He's facing some issue with connectivity, sir. Mansoor is in contact with him.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, then let me proceed a little further.
Doctor?
Ji?
I want to respond to your question. Sir, you talked about that the government intervention actually make the market failure. This is absolutely true. Let's take the example of sugar industry, for example. We still have Sugar Factories Control Act of 1950 in place. And what does it do is it allocates a geographical area within which only the farmers can sell. It sets a minimum price on which the mills can purchase sugarcane. Now, the idea perhaps at that time in 1950 was to safeguard the interest of farmers by setting up a minimum price. But now what happens is it's the minimum price. The price is set below market, and that is the price. It's not the minimum price. It is the price. And the consumer suffers there. By this regulation, coming back to my first thing, that market power, you give market power to a sugar mill. He has a bonded area where he can purchase sugar cane and at the price he wants. And when he has that market power, he gets that addiction of that power, which he then go on and manipulate when he has to sell the sugar, the refined sugar. And we had the commission, as Khalsa mentioned, we have issued a number of policy notes asking for abolition of this Sugarcane Act of 1950. We had looked into all their practices. So it is the government, yes, you're right. It is the government that distort the competition and make the market fail.
Nadeem, even within this area of sugar, for example, there is an area that the Competition Commission can and has acted. For example, earlier this year, for 10 days from the 31st of December 2019 to the 10th of January 2020, okay, the sugar mills went on a sort of strike. They stopped operating because they were bringing pressure upon the government to accept some of whatever the demands were. Now, that is an area which the Competition Commission could have noted, because this was a collusive behavior on the part of the mills, and it was the trade association, this PSMA, which the decision of which was actually anti-competitive. They could have been fined till kingdom come on that. It was a very clear classical case of collusion. Now, why the commission did not act or is a different question. Is a different aspect. But the fact is, this is an area, notwithstanding the huge regulation which the government has done of the sugar in industry, the Competition Commission could have played its role. And earlier on, when I was there, chairman of the Competition Commission, we had caught the sugar industry down in cartelization again, okay? And we had actually proceeded and in fact issued a fine. Of course, it was filed in the court because there was a stay order and you couldn't issue it, but it is still there on the records of the court. And incidentally, that case since then has not been heard for whatever reason. But whatever it is, what I'm saying is that there is, and that judgment actually of the Competition Commission was leaked. It came out hugely in the press. If you see the sugar report itself, if you see the sugar report itself, you will find that there are instances of cartelization in that as well. There are areas in which the commission can act, but it has not. Even areas which are heavily regulated.
But you see, my point is, and let me proceed from there. I won't raise this anymore. My point is that when I go to Hafiz Center, there's no cartelization. When I go to the informal market, there is no cartelization. There's no market competition problem. When I go to Bano Bazaar or Liberty Market, there's no problem with competition. Markets inherently are competitive unless the government interferes. So probably the Competition Commission's law, if Vikas Mir was here, I'd ask him, probably should be changed to monitor the government, because it's the government interference that causes the problem. Take a look at this. Investment GDP ratio is very low, as I said, right? But there's a further question that I want to raise. There's a further issue that I want to raise. For example, here is something that I did for my book a long time or something. That if you look at the industrial structure, the tea, the textile, the petroleum, the fertilizer, all the structures have virtually remained the same. They don't change much, right? So that means the entry, exit, the system seems to be a problem. But it's all the regulated system. This is the big ticket system. So my question to you is, uncompetitive markets seem to be the hallmark in Pakistan. Especially not in the informal sector. Informal sector, the markets work very well. It's only the formal sector that the markets work very badly. And that is because of government interference, not because of the competitive problem. And this is probably the reason why investment doesn't happen. Our investment GDP ratio is so low and our markets are static. So could you explain that? Can the Competition Commission help us there? Or is this something that's just a reform of the government that's necessary?
Jee, Nadeem sir, I'm here so I can pitch in as far as the law is concerned. So, I mean, as the other participants have said, there is a real and legitimate problem as far as government intervention is concerned. However, I think kanoon jitna usko uska khayal rakh sakta tha ki hukumat ke sath kis tarah deal karna hai, wo kanoon ne uski jagah chhodi hai. Kanoon mein competition commission ke paas ye ikhtiyar hai ki wo hukumat ko policy notes issue kar sakta hai aur unki ranumai kar sakta hai ki aap ye jo kadam utha rahe hain ye musabakat ke kanoon ke yani competition ke kanoon ke khilaf hai. Aur phir agar us policy ki advocacy ki jayegi to awam mein bhi ye shaur badhega ki ye jo kadam uthaye ja rahe hain ye musabakat ke kanoon ke khilaf hain. Ye kuch instances mein competition commission ne hukumat ko policy notes issue kiye hain. Jab Khalid Mirza sahab chairman the tab ye practice shuru hui thi aur uske baad Mrs. Rahat Konain ki chairmanship ke niche bhi ye practice chalti rahi hai. और उसका एक बहुत बड़ा फायदा यह है कि उससे मल्टीपल इश्यूज पे डिबेट होता है कि क्या हुकूमत की जो इकोनॉमिक पॉलिसीज हैं उनका फायदा हो रहा है या नुकसान हो रहा है. आई डोंट थिंक अदरवाइज कि अगर गवर्नमेंट एंटिटीज को कंपटीशन कमीशन फाइन करे तो उससे कोई बहुत ज्यादा फायदा होगा. उससे एक अननेसेसरी किस्म की टेंशन तो खड़ी हो सकती है इदारों के बीच में, बट ये जरूरी नहीं कि हुकूमत का रवैया उसकी वजह से बदल जाए. रवैया बदलने के लिए आई थिंक विल बहुत जरूरी है और नीयत होनी चाहिए कि ये प्रैक्टिसेस को बदला जाए और जो कॉर्पोरेट इंटरेस्ट का कैप्चर है उससे जान छुड़ानी पड़ेगी. सो दैट्स माय टेक.
ग्रेट. अच्छा जी,
आई वांट टू कम इन हियर. यू सी, आई हैव अ fundamental difference of opinion with you when you say that in informal markets there is no anti-competitive behavior. Okay, that is not true at all.
Please tell us.
There is anti but those markets are there. They are you know, functioning. They would function much better if there was some degree of proper behavior, some law amongst thieves. Okay, but it. So I don't agree with you there. Competition issues, which, well, no, hold on a second, let me finish. Competition issues which we are talking about, which are covered in the law, that is abuse of dominance, cartelization, okay, the main things, which are prohibited agreements, are endemic. Whether it is a regulated sector or an unregulated sector. The point I was trying to make to you earlier was that even in the regulated sectors, there is certain egregiousness and certain disingenuousness that goes beyond the regulation also. And that area is something in which the Competition Commission or the competition agency can act and can correct. That's what I was trying to say. So it is a very limited, I'm not saying it's a big area. The whole scope of the Competition Commission is defined by the industrial policy of the government. If whatever the industrial policy of the government is and whatever laws and regulations they make, okay, then we cannot interfere there. We can only intervene where it is free. Okay, and as I said earlier in my remarks, if you had adverted to me, perhaps they were too long-winded, which was that the Competition Commission can actually come in and act even in an informal area where there is a competition issue. It's like a helicopter with a footlight that goes all over and wherever it sees an issue of competition, formal, informal, regulated, unregulated, it moves in. And indeed, that has been the case wherever this antitrust has been enforced. So I am not making a case for antitrust. I am just telling you that what it can and what it cannot do. If it is not liked, that's fine. You can close it down. But the fact is that there is a limited use that competition law and policy has played across the globe, including in Pakistan. And there are, of course, the regulated things which intervene and you can't do anything about them. That is fine, but that's a different issue. And incidentally, there have been several policy notes which have been, several opinions which have been given. In the early days, when those opinions were given and policy notes were given, they were a certain response from the government, even if it was a half-hearted response. I'm not sure what happened subsequent to that. Take the sugar matter that you raised. In the first sugar report, which I prepared, Vikas Mead was working with me at that time, none of the recommendations made by us have been implemented. Had that been done, perhaps the current issue may not have arisen.
Okay. There's a tension that I feel in my mind, at least to my training, which is an economist, so obviously it's different from many of you. We economists think that, I'll leave that aside. There has been a trend in the world, for example, the Thatcher Revolution, or for example, even in Australia, there's a Productivity Commission, you probably know about it much more than I do. There was a huge attempt at deregulating the market, right? And now, in a sense, even the notion of competition in the US has changed because Google and Facebook are facing totally different norms of competition than AT&T did and then that the General Motors and previous decisions faced. The government was far more aggressive in antitrust legislation in the old days than it is today. And deregulation seems to be the norm. Here, what we've done is we've built a competition commission, which is trying to sort of establish competitive norms when the market is extremely regulated. So, Joseph, sir, do you think deregulation should precede competition, or is there a tension between the two? Am I missing?
You're totally missed.
It doesn't matter.
Let's have a debate. Let Joseph answer, then I will come.
I think there's a misconception here. The Competition Commission is not out there making any competitive norms. It is only looking at things at a distance to ensure that there is a level playing field and the market is working competitively. There are no market failures because of anti-competitive behavior. So coming to your question, yes, deregulation, Pakistan maybe just in 1960s, 1996 onward, we deregulated the telecom market, the media market, and so on and so forth. And once there is a deregulation comes into place, liberalization coupled with deregulation, that's when the Competition Commission comes into action to ensure that the deregulated market function according to competitive markets. I think Khalid Saab, Jesse, there is perhaps some misconception that we are creating any norms. We are not, it's the Competition Commission is creating any norms. It is not the case. The norms which the Commission is creating is that of level playing field, acting fairly, preventing abuse of dominance, preventing collusion, ensuring that there are no mergers which are hostile mergers, which are lessening competition. There's no abuse of trademarks, and this is an extended version that we have in Pakistan. The trademarks are not abused to the extent that it harms both the other business as well as the consumer by defrauding him. So this is primarily the four functions which the Commission performs. And the more important, perhaps, was I'll echo, is that Section 29, which is advocacy, to look into all the government laws to ensure, to see where they are distorting competition, and to give a policy note. And the Commission has done given a number of policy notes even after Rahat's tenure. To the extent that the NFL, they got this extra protection, and WFO, FWO, Frontier Works, all these special privileges which they were given to them, the Commission raised a voice that this is anti-competitive. It is precluding other businessmen to come in and do the work.
Well said, Dr. Wilson. If I may just add, where you need this kind of competition or antitrust is where you have deregulated markets. That's where you actually need it to ensure a certain behavioral norm. That's all that we are talking about, so that markets actually function. Because it's like saying that in some remote areas where there is no law of any kind, and well, people live there, people live very well, yes, but the murders do happen, and highway robbery does take place, okay, but people live, people are fine. It's the same sort of thing here. When you, in fact, the more you liberalize, okay, the more you need something like antitrust.
Waqas sahab, ye bataiye, in law, can you have a law as open? Don't you need to define competition in law? Because if you're enforcing something, don't you need to define it? So how do you define competition in the law? I have a hard time defining the competition legally.
Okay, that's a fair question, but I think throughout the world, the law has answered that in a very clear way. And the answer is this, that we are not going to tell you what falls within the domain of competition. We're going to tell you what falls outside it. And that's how you decide ki aap anti-competitive activities kar rahe hain. So, char kism ke main offenses competition law aapko puri duniya mein bata deta hai ki ye aap is tarah ka conduct mat undertake kijiye. One is related to abuse of market power, jo ke hamare kanun mein bhi abuse of dominant position hai. Dusra ek offense hai cartelization ka ke regard.
Iski definition bata de. What is the definition?
So abuse of dominant position ye hai that either because of your market share or your ability to influence market in a way where because of price characteristics or intended uses, you have a particular product in the market which is not substitutable with any other product. So a classic example would be Microsoft Windows when they came out. And if you're raising the prices, in order to damage your competition, then you're guilty of what the Americans would call monopolization and what the Europeans today would call abuse of dominant position. However, over time, competition law has realized that unreasonable increase in prices is one of the hardest things to prove as anti-competitive behavior. So there are other things that you don't discriminatory pricing. Na karein. आप अपने सप्लायर्स को हार्म मत करें या आप अपने कंपेटिटर के सप्लायर्स को हार्म मत करें आप रिफ्यूजल टू सप्लाई मत करें अगर आप कोई एसेंशियल सर्विस प्रोवाइड कर रहे हैं तो इस तरह मत refuse karein ki aapke competitors market se bahar ho jaye. So this would be abuse of market power. Then there's another area where, regardless of whether you have market power or not, certain actions are prohibited. So you cannot fix prices with a competitor, even if you do not have market power. So you cannot say, I'm too small, I just sell cement in Punjab, and A and B cannot, you know, fix cement prices in Punjab. Then third is that if you are a company which is trying to acquire another company or merge with another company, if you hit a certain threshold in terms of the size of the transaction, you notify the Competition Commission. So baki jo humne do offenses discuss kiye the wo aapke past conduct ko regulate kar rahe hain. Merger control aapke future possibility of abuse ko regulate karta hai by saying, if you're crossing a certain threshold, you tell us and you get clearance from us. And number four is deceptive marketing, where you're prohibited from advertising products or services in a way which falsifies information about the quality of the product or any other essential element of the product. So deceptive marketing, merger control, abuse of dominant position, and cartelization are four areas in which competition law tells us, do not do this, do not cross this line. If you cross it, it will be anti-competitive. Anything else that you do is not the concern of competition law at this point.
Okay. And in each of these cases, I presume the principle is innocent until proven guilty, and the competition has to prove that there is a case.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's a very important and a good question. What they're looking at essentially is consumer harm. And, European courts have gone by the mantra that the aim of competition law is to protect competition and not competitors. So even if a competitor says, okay, I undertook this because I wanted to survive in the market, what competition law would look at, how does this affect the consumer and, the market and other people who are trying to enter the market, and not just people, jinko isse fayda ho raha hai. So, burden of proof hamesha competition commission ke upar hi hota hai. Pakistan mein adalton mein ye challenge hai competition commission ke khilaf, ke competition commission khud hi show cause notice issue karke khud hi prosecute karta hai, aur jo pehla order sunaya jata hai wo competition commission khud hi sunata hai, and therefore that's a challenge to the quasi judicial powers that the commission exercises, which Khalid Mirza saab hinted at the beginning. However, this model of issuing a show cause to someone that you regulate and then proving that they violated the law that you're administering is not peculiar to Competition Commission. This is what the SECP does. This is what the PTA does. This is what NEPRA does. This is what OGRA does. This is what all regulatory bodies in Pakistan do. This is what the FBR does. So use this against the Competition Commission as an argument, I think is disingenuous. Unless we are willing to reform the entire regulatory framework and the entire set of assumptions under which our regulators operate. So Competition Commission aapko investigate karke, show cause karke, hearing karke, notice karke saza sunayega. Agar unhone saza sunayi, uski ek appeal ka ikhtiyar aapko ek independent body ke paas milega, jo ki Competition Appellate Tribunal hai, aur wahan se aapki appeal phir Supreme Court of Pakistan jayegi. So it's not as if ek idara khud show cause karke ya inquiry karke aapko saza suna ke mamla khatam kar deta hai. Aapke paas multiple avenues hain appeal ke. Magar kya ye avenues constitutional hain? Ye sawal tamam regulatory bodies ke liye uthna chahiye, na sirf Competition Commission ke liye. And these are questions pending before the court right now also.
Very good, very good. Achha ji,
yes, I do. What I wanted to say was that, quite apart from the Competition Commission, the pattern of the Competition Commission is quite similar to many countries. We have the same basic process. You have changes, of course. There are other patterns as well. But this is quite common. It's not only that in Pakistan you have other agencies which are regulatory agencies that have this this pattern. We are, of course, not a regulatory agency, but the Competition Commission is a law enforcement agency. But be that as it, and I draw this distinction, it's very important to do that. The fact of the matter is that whatever the Competition Commission does, it is appealable, and it can be rectified in a higher forum. Then the commission itself, at least when I was there, we had very clearly separated the investigative part from the adjudicatory part. So we tried to attain some degree of if you like, fairness. But be that as it may, the appeal can always go higher, and there can be a correction there.
Okay, fair enough. Achaji, Abdul Qadir Saab from the Competition Commission, I think I'll start going to the floor now. We've got some time. So Abdul Qadir Saab from the Competition Commission is here. You wanted to say something, Abdul Qadir Saab? Quickly, please.
Sorry, Dr. Nadeem. It's actually Ahmed Qadir. I just had a few slides that I wanted to share, and that might sort of help lay the context. And I'm going to just try to see if I can share my screen and hope it works from that point forward. So just give me a second to try to see if this works. All right, I just wanted to talk a little bit about emerging challenges to competition and policy that we see. Can anybody, can people see the screen and can they hear me?
Yes, we can see and hear.
All right, so I'll just go forward. I just want to, I'm just having a little bit of problem with my apologies.
You were at Kirkegaard.
Sorry, sir. I'm just having a little bit of problem with my slides. But I think what I wanted to say was in 2016, when Barack Obama was in the White House, the Council of Economic Advisors issued a note expressing their concern about how competition is reducing in the American economy. And soon after that, the president issued an executive order encouraging government and government agencies to use whatever means necessary to promote competition to the extent that their law allowed them. Now, if you look at recent events, just the news of this week is that the 51 states in America have started legal antitrust actions against pharmaceutical manufacturers for raising prices. Now, the concept of America, where they have criminal penalties, where they have the power to put people in jail for cartelization, the fact that you can have this kind of egregious behavior taking place in such a developed jurisdiction shows that competition is under threat, not just in a developing economy like Pakistan, where perhaps we don't have that level of criminal penalties, but civil penalties. Even in America is having problems like that. Another example from Germany, the European competition regulator raided the offices of the luxury car manufacturers, BMW, Mercedes, etc., for having a cartel in setting automobile standards. So these are very established jurisdictions and they are having competition concerns coming to the forefront. So what is happening? There is some problem with competition that is arising everywhere. There are two routes to market power. One is business conduct, and the Competition Commission, I think Khalid Saab and Joseph Saab and even Vakas Mir are very familiar with the number of cases that the Competition Commission has pursued and taken them to court, where they're currently subject to preliminary injunctions. And the big challenge is the constitutionality of the Competition Act that's affecting these cases. That's a matter that's being decided in the courts, but the merits of the commission's orders have not been deliberated on by the legal experts and in the courtroom. So until that happens, the impact of the Competition Commission remains limited. So that's business conduct. These are the commission's cases against business conduct. The other aspect of market power we are talking about is what are these government policies that distort competition? And we see a lot of that here. So we've talked about sugar. We have seen that in the automobile sector. We see a lot of that in public procurement. We've not been able to, despite the fact that our National Anti-Corruption Strategy of 2002 makes a very clear argument as to how public bid rigging and public procurement is affecting the economy of Pakistan, we haven't been able to take those steps forward. So there are government policies and what you call the SRO culture that tends to distort things. And how is the commission supposed to handle this? Well, one, in the last 2-3 years, we've been working with the World Bank to try to develop some international best practices as to how do we do market assessments? And I think Nadeem Saab, I've shared this document with you. One other thing that we have asked the bank to help us, and they prepared these very extensive guidelines, is how do you do the process of exempting agreements that might be anti-competitive, but do have some economic rationale and benefits to the economy. So how does the commission analyze those for their merits and their demerits? Some certain sectors that we want to have a very extensive market assessments done in energy, a perennial problem in Pakistan. Pharmaceuticals, I think I talked about the American example of pharmaceutical companies raising prices. This is the news of this week, but in Pakistan, with more than 700 manufacturers spread over four provinces, it's important to understand that no matter what your status or your income level in society is, every consumer has to go and buy medicine in Pakistan. What is the quality that you're giving them? How competitive is that market? Automobiles, you know, how do we move forward?
We are going to be talking to you next week as well, Kader Saab. So, jaldi se wind up kar le so that we can go on to the audience. You have to say anything else? Yeah, this is it? Acha, chale.
This is Chalaji. It.
Acha, Fazle Amin Saab.
Yes, sir. Assalamualaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Sir, I'm basically a chemical engineer or working as a deputy general manager production in a cement sector. Mera question hai sir ke aajkal jo cement manufacturers isse pehle cartel banata, but there was no influence of CCP. Now CCP is an action against the cement manufacturers, and they don't have any ground to enforce there, because Mirza saab ne kaha ke CCP jo hai wo police hai. If CCP is a police, then there must be law. Where is the law? And if there is a law, then they should have the price control of for one product, where you have to be a specified cost for any product. So market major, so everyone have the right to sell their product with some sort of margin of profit, not to either break even or less than break even. My question is that how they can control it.
ठीक है जी. Maliha Bangar Sahiba.
Welcome, ji. So lovely and heartening to see our my chairman Khalid Saab, my very dear colleague Joseph and Vakas Mir also, whom we all worked. Ahmed, आपके साथ भी. Thank you for this really great talk. Just won't take much of your time. I just want to recognize that while I was with the founding team of the CCP under the leadership of Khalid Mirza Saab, we had done a lot of groundbreaking work in advocacy, in abuse of dominance, and also we had done some very interesting orders, I think very, I would say, historic in Vakas Aapi Uswakte. There were some orders and decisions on cartels, such as the cement cartel at the time, the sugar entire effort on sugar, and the collusion of banks, which are under PBA, was some very historical work that was being done. And to my dismay, I would say, I think if we had just, as the commission continued on that route and just actually ensured that some of that work had been continued, and perhaps today we would not have still have the sugar problem, still have, you know, cement mein is tarah ki cheeze, and perhaps even today, because I went on to being part of an investment climate and business reform unit, I realized the lack of competition has now severely impacted the businesses, and there's great abuse of dominance, and of course a lack of access to finance. So my question is, and I would like Mr. Khalid Mirza and Dr. Joseph Wilson to enlighten me here, is going forward, what would you recommend? You know, everything, having said all of that, what is in the past
in the past, but now going forward, how can we revive and perhaps take that forward in a true and meaningful way? Thank you.
Adi Kamal, sir.
Sir, so my two questions are, number one, if I got everything right, then CCP has no role in promoting competition. Am I right or not? Number two, sir, exploitation is always there. Informal market ho ya other market ho, exploitation bahut zyada hai. And if we consider exploitation, then CCP has to prove that exploitation ke ji waqai ho rahi hai. Agar wo prove nahi kar sakte to wo unko saza nahi de sakte. This is my second question. If I'm right, then
theek hai ji. Good, great. Badar Khan sahab. Badar Khan.
Can you hear me? Assalamu alaikum.
Boliye ji, boliye.
Hello.
Boliye ji.
Sir, I am running a family business of electronics, core components. It's my family business. We supply parts to different departments of workers of military. Same question as firstly Amin sahab raised. Is what is the role of CCP in the electronics market? Because we see and we face ke hame jo sabse bada problem ye hai ki jo Chinese product ki penetration hai market mein, uski wajah se aapki local industry has been raptured, disrupted so much, so badly, aur koi price control electronics ki core components ke respect se, manufacturing ke respect se, aapko as such nazar aati hi nahi hai. You can't complain it. You can't see any control of CCP over on the electronics parts as well. So just mere sawal bhi basically Fazle Amin sahab wala hai ki hum kis tarah se apni product ko market mein penetrate karwa sakte hain jabki jo existing product hai ya jo market ke intruders hain already wo market ko itna heavily occupied karke baithe hue hain ki as an SME we can't survive anymore. Thank you.
Ji Bakasa, would you like to address some of these questions?
Ji, I'll talk about law related aspects. So ye jo last sawal tha iska jawab main pehle de deta hu, aur isse pehle jo ek sawal tha ki law mein kya burden hai, there is no law. So jo aapka concern hai sir ke Chinese products markets ko flood kar rahe hain, that may not necessarily immediately be a competition related issue. It may also, aap ek hamara anti dumping ka kanoon hai, aap usko bhi dekh le. Agar aapko lag raha hai ki koi ek particular Chinese supplier yahan pe dump kar raha hai, to uske niche bhi aap jo hamara anti dumping commission hai uske paas ja sakte hain. दूसरा कंपटीशन लॉ में, आपको अगर आप इसको कंपटीशन इशू बनाएंगे कि चाइनीज सप्लायर्स ने मार्केट को फ्लड किया है, तो यू विल हैव टू शो कि आइदर वन चाइनीज सप्लायर और अ नंबर ऑफ देम एक्टिंग कलेक्टिवली, यानी एक गठजोड़ के तहत उन्होंने एक पॉलिसी अपनाई है जिसके तहत आपको कम्पीट करने से रोका जा रहा है. अगर आपके पास ऐसा मवाद है या जो भी आपके पास मवाद है और आप चाहते हैं कि सीसीपी कोई एक्शन ले, तो आप एक दरखास्त लिख के कॉम्पिटिशन कमीशन को भेज सकते हैं, और उसको अगर आपने उसको फॉर्मल कंप्लेंट के तौर पे लॉन्च करना है, तो आपको एक 50,000 रुपए का बैंक ड्राफ्ट उसके साथ लगाना पड़ेगा जो कि एक कंप्लेंट की फी है. अगर आपने एक इनफॉर्मल कंप्लेंट लॉन्च करनी है कि वो उसकी इंक्वायरी शुरू कर दें और खुद थोड़ा बहुत मार्केट से पता करें कि क्या इस कंप्लेंट में कोई जान है कि नहीं, तो आप वो भी कर सकते हैं. अगर आपके पास मवाद है तो उसकी रिक्वायरमेंट्स आपको कंपटीशन की जो जनरल इन्फोर्समेंट रेगुलेशंस हैं उसमें इस कंप्लेंट की कुछ रिक्वायरमेंट्स होती हैं कि आप कंप्लेंट लिखेंगे, उसके साथ जो एविडेंस है वो अटैच करेंगे और एक एफिडेविट आपको देना होगा. तो अगर आपके पास कोई मटीरियल है तो आप कंप्लेंट इस तरह कर सकते हैं. दूसरा जो सीमेंट से रिलेटेड सवाल था, सीमेंट से रिलेटेड कॉम्पिटिशन कमीशन ने जो एक्शन लिया था उसमें, एटलीस्ट जब मैं था कंपटीशन कमीशन में, तो वहां पे तो एक रिटन अग्रीमेंट कमीशन के हाथ लगा था जो कि एक स्मोकिंग गन किस्म का एविडेंस था सीमेंट सेक्टर की तरफ से. हाउएवर सीमेंट सेक्टर ने उस अग्रीमेंट की बेसिस पे जो कार्रवाई सेक्टर के खिलाफ हुई थी उसको अदालत में चैलेंज किया हुआ है कि कॉम्पिटिशन का कानून पाकिस्तान के आइन के खिलाफ है और विफाक को कोई हक नहीं है कि वो ऐसा कानून बनाए, और सिर्फ सूबे इस किस्म का कानून बना सकते हैं. और ये एक आईनी बहस है जो कि अनफॉर्चुनेटली पाकिस्तान की हाई कोर्ट्स में पिछले 12 साल से चल रही है और कोई हाई कोर्ट इसका फैसला आज तक नहीं कर सकी. लेकिन कंपटीशन का कानून अदरवाइज बहुत वाजे है. कमीशन आपके खिलाफ जब भी कोई एक्शन लेगा तो वो आपको वाजे तौर पे शो कॉज नोटिस में ये लिख के बताएगा कि किस बुनियाद पे आपके खिलाफ एक्शन लिया जा रहा है.
टीथ के, इसके टीथ के, सीमेंट के खिलाफ आपने जो पॉलिसी नोट दिया है, शुगर के खिलाफ, व्हाट टीथ डू यू हैव, व्हाट कैन यू डू? अगर कार्टलाइजेशन है तो आप क्या, उसका क्या है फंक्शन, क्या, व्हाट इज द टीथ?
So the commission can fine you up to as high as 75 million rupees, and it can tell you that certain practices will never be undertaken again. So you know, that's if I understood your question correctly, okay, what is the teeth that you talked about? What teeth does the law have? So
5 million देके मैं आराम से बैठ जाऊंगा, ठीक है?
नहीं, लेकिन वो तो वो भी देने को तैयार नहीं है. अगर वो आराम से दे के बैठ जाते तो शायद कोई फायदा हो जाता, बट आज तक कोई जिस पे भी कार्टलाइजेशन का इल्जाम लगता है वो हाईकोर्ट जाके स्टे ले लेता है. वो तो 1 million भी देने को तैयार नहीं है, बिकॉज शायद हमें ये अमाउंट छोटी लगे, लेकिन हम इस चीज को इग्नोर नहीं कर सकते, मेरी अदना राय में नदीम साहब, के बिजनेसेस को फर्क पड़ता है जब अखबारों में ये बात छपती है कि इन्होंने अवाम को लूटा और अवाम के साथ इन्होंने गठजोड़ की बना पे गैर कानूनी एकदम से मुनाफा कमाया, उनको ये बात चुपती है. सो उससे बचने के लिए वो हर तरह के रास्ते अपनाते हैं. यस, द कॉम्पिटिशन लॉ कैन बी स्ट्रेंथन इन सम एरियाज, आई एग्री, देर आर एरियाज वेर इट कैन बी स्ट्रेंथन. सीसीपी कैन बी गिवन मोर पावर्स, एंड देर इज ऑल्सो स्कोप फॉर ग्रेटर ओवरसाइट ओवर सीसीपी इन सम रिस्पेक्ट्स. देर आर आर्ग्यूमेंट्स टू बी मेड, बट आई थिंक द लॉ डज हैव इनफ टीथ एट दिस पॉइंट. However, unfortunately, our high courts grant routinely stay orders to these corporate elements, and therefore that makes enforcement very difficult.
ठीक ठीक ठीक. अच्छा, ये एक दो और सवाल आ गए. अली खान साहब, आप बताइए. अली खान साहब.
सर, मेरा my question is कि क्या CCP के अंदर price control is part of it? So the profit margins that on the on above and the cost jo hoti hai inki variable and fixed cost uske upar jo profit margin hai, is there any check on that? Thank you.
Amanullah sahab.
Sir, thank you very much. Sir, basically I was reading some report. Currently there are around 127 cases and stay orders pending in the courts of law against Competition Commission's order. सर, जिसमें से तकरीबन जो फाइंस हैं वर्थ अराउंड रुपीज 27 बिलियन के, सर, और जिसमें जो सेक्टर इंक्लूड हैं लाइक फ्लोर मिल्स, हेल्थ केयर, शुगर, सीमेंट, टेलीकॉम, रियल स्टेट, कैपिटल मार्केट्स, और जो इसमें से कुछ केसेस हैं वो अभी तक पेंडिंग है 10 सालों से. और इस पे आप क्या कहते हैं परफॉर्मेंस ऑफ कंपटीशन कमीशन के बारे में, क्योंकि ऑडिटर जनरल की रिपोर्ट भी हम देख रहे थे तो उसमें भी उन पर काफ़ी है ना इनकम्पिटेंसी के हवाले से बात की गई थी. तो इधर बड़े ऑनरेबल मेंबर्स बैठे हुए हैं तो वो थोड़ा सा इस पे रोशनी डाल सकें तो बता दें कि क्या वजूहात हैं
इसके. ये जोसेफ साहब, पहले आप बताइए. ये जो सारे सवाल हैं, खासतौर पे लास्ट दो, ये तो बड़े इंटरेस्टिंग सवाल हैं.
जी, एक सवाल था कि डू वी हैव एनी, द कमीशन हैव एनी कंट्रोल ओवर प्रॉफिट मार्जिन. द आंसर इज नो, कमीशन डजंट लुक इनटू दैट. It does look at the costing when it comes to predatory pricing. For example, agar koi apni cost se niche cheezein bech raha hai aur dusron ko harm pahuncha raha hai, to us surat mein the commission could look into the cost and see if it is, if the company is selling below its average variable cost, which then amounts to what is called predatory pricing. And that predatory pricing is in fact an abuse of dominance. Abuse of dominance. तो ये तो सवाल, एक मेरे ख्याल दो सवाल मैंने जो दिए. एक जो सवाल है कि कंपटीशन कमीशन की क्या कारगर्दगी है, मेरा ख्याल है ये सवाल कोर्ट को करना चाहिए कि उनकी क्या कारगर्दगी है, कि पिछले 10-12 साल से एक केस पड़ा हुआ है, उसको मुख्तलिफ टाइम पे सुना गया और उसके ऊपर डिसीजन नहीं किया गया, उसमें कमीशन का भी टाइम वेस्ट हुआ. कितनी दफ़ा कमीशन जो है वो इस्लामाबाद से लाहौर जाती रहे, मेंबर्स जाते रहे, लॉयर्स जाते रहे, एंड देन दे हैव अ फुल हेयरिंग, डे टू डे हेयरिंग फॉर अ मंथ, एंड देन दिस वाज इन 2015 इन लाहौर हाई कोर्ट, एंड देन देयर इज नो डिसीजन. इसमें कमीशन क्या कर सकती है, ये तो हाई कोर्ट को पूछे, कोई पूछ सकता है अगर कि ये उनकी क्या कारगर्दगी.
ठीक, हालत साहब lot of issues, a lot of questions. Can you please take them up? Khaled Mirza? Khaled Mirza sahab, hain ki nahi? Is Khaled Mirza here? Where is he?
He needs to be unmuted, ji, unka.
Khaled sahab, unmute yourself. Khaled sahab, there's a mute button. Please press it. Mute button ko unmute kare. Achha, main idhar se dekhta hu if I can do it. Can I do it?
His video is on, sir, but...
Khaled sahab, press...
I think I'm unmuted now.
Now. Go ahead.
Okay, now...
Last word, go ahead.
Yeah, I have seen some of these questions. And first of all, I want to say that when I came here to take charge of this commission, I was conscious of one or two things. And one was that the courts don't function. And that therefore, whatever we do, it's unlikely to hold water. It's in the sense that it's unlikely to be enforced. So how was I going to then act in a manner that made any sense and that had any way of having an impact? Now, Vikas did mention that a little bit when he said that after they don't pay the fine because it affects their name. Well, the name which I wanted to affect, and I did succeed in doing that, was in naming and shaming when our orders were issued. So whether a fine was paid or not, because I knew that they would never pay the fine. For example, the cement industry has been fined a total of 6.4 billion. Okay, they'll never pay that fine. I can tell you, if you look at the annual accounts of any cement company that was fined, they haven't even provided it as a contingency in the accounts. So they will never pay it. They will tie it up in courts for years and years, maybe for decades, but they won't pay it. Now the question is, how do I make an impact? And the impact was the way in which the orders were framed and the way in which they were issued and propagated. There was and the fact of the matter is that at least at that time, the commission enjoyed a fair amount of integrity. I hope I'm not being immodest here, but with that, from orders from that perch of integrity, when they were issued, they had an impact. Now, I know of one big businessman in Lahore of my own name, who has a cement company. He said to people, in fact, it got reported back to me, he would openly say it, that I don't mind what the High Court had said, if the High Court says anything, or any other court says, any other tribunal says anything. But the fact that this man has said this about me is what pinches, okay? And this person used to say that he's, a big admirer, and then later on that turned into big hatred, okay? And the fact of the matter is that if the commission acts with integrity, if they issue speaking orders that are balanced, then they do have an impact whether the fine is paid or not. And frankly speaking, to hold the commission responsible because the fines are not paid, whoever it is, whether it is the Attorney General, as somebody mentioned, or anyone, should go and hang his head in shame. Because the commission has not, if Tinker gets into court, it's in court. What can I do with it? I can only pursue it. If the court says no, you impose the fine wrongly, that's one thing. But if they don't do anything, then it is nothing to do with the commission or the incompetence of the commission. So whereas the commission may not be the same what it used to be when I was there, and perhaps a couple of years when subsequent to that, this is not something that you can hold the commission responsible for. Now, as regards profit margins, I know Dr. Saab has just said very plainly that is not the commission's concern. The fact of the matter is the commission tries to enforce market norms, which means that the sale which is of a product which is done is at a price which is a market clearing price, and that arises out of sellers and buyers operating on a level playing field, whatever that may be, and whatever the profit margin that may emerge from that. This is not the concern of the Commission and should not be the concern of anyone in a market-based economy. If you are talking about the market, then you talk about the market. If you want to control the economy from the commanding heights, then fine, then you can have all this cost plus and so on. As it is, as Nadeem pointed out, there is so much government intervention which actually hurts the economy that we are neither here nor there. So that is one thing. The other thing that I wanted to mention was about this electronics market. Now, whether it is the electronics market, whether it is any other market, if there is a surge in imports that seems to affect that market, Vakas pointed out there are various ways of handling it. If they are imports and they are genuine imports, then I think the local people will have to compete with them. But if they are imports which are based on dumping or some degree of predatory pricing, okay, then either the Tariff Commission or the Competition Commission can be brought into play. And I think the Competition Commission is well equipped to deal with that. So that's the other thing. The CCP's role comes in wherever there is a violation of the Competition Act. That is, in this aspect that was mentioned, we are talking about some degree of abuse of dominance. If that can be shown, the Competition Commission should and must act. And indeed it will, but it has to have the wherewithal, which the people in the Chinese in this electronic market should provide. Now, the somebody mentioned about no role that the Competition Commission has in promoting competition, and that what proof is needed to punish. Well, I'm afraid if you look at the performance of the Commission in the early days of the Commission, at least the first 4 or 5 years, I think later too, frankly, the Commission has indeed played a role within the scope that it can operate in to promote the competition. The way it does promote competition is it acts against anti-competitive behavior. That's what the law expects it to do. It cannot act in any other way. The only other way, of course, which has been mentioned, is advocacy, in which indeed the Commission does in spades. In fact, Bill Kovacic, the all-time guru of competition law and policy in the world since competition began. Competition, you know, is the gift of the United States to the world, like Superman, Walt Disney, chewing gum, and so on. He came here to Pakistan and, having seen our advocacy activity, said the United States can learn something from us. Okay, this is one area where we can provide technical assistance to the United States. To say that we are not promoting competition is actually a statement by somebody who actually doesn't know or is deliberately obtuse. I don't know which it is. And the other is proof needed to punish. Of course, we are issuing speaking orders. The Commission has been doing that, providing all the proof, which is why the courts have not been able to actually nullify any of the orders of the Commission. So the last thing is, how do we take it forward? See, the fact of the matter is that when it comes to competition law and policy, the proponents of that are many. Now, the people who benefit from it also are many, but they are, you know, quiet. They are not those that are known or can be seen, right? But the ones that oppose the competition law and policy are few, but they are voluble and they're influential. Now, that is what the Commission is up against right from the beginning in Pakistan and in many other countries where similar laws and agencies have been put in, in place, the people opposed to competition law and policy, opposed to antitrust, had two aims. Number one, either somehow they should dilute the law. I think they have not succeeded in that so far. The other is try to get people in the commission which are not the right type and which they can influence and perhaps which are not that competent. Now, I don't know, but maybe to some extent, they may have succeeded there to some extent. I don't say in entirely. So that is, now, what can the government do in order to actually, or what can the commission do, or what should be done in order to take the commission forward in a positive manner? The very first responsibility of the government is that when it appoints people to the competition commission, it should do that with due care. It should put in people who have something to contribute, and above all, have integrity. Now, if they were to do, right now, unfortunately, under the law, there is a huge amount of discretion that the government has. They can appoint anyone to the competition commission virtually. But the fact of the matter is that they should actually be exercising that discretion with a great deal of circumspection and ensure that people come into the commission that actually can contribute and are actually people who are honest and can be depended upon to do a good job. Now, that is the first responsibility which comes in. The second is that within the commission itself, and there also you have the government comes into play here, the commission has to be strengthened. The commission needs the wherewithal. This has been an almighty fight that I have had with the government right from the beginning when I was there. We are always scratching at the bottom of the barrel for funds to even pay our staff. Now, that is not the way it should be. The law provides for other regulatory agencies to give a certain percentage of their fees and charges to the commission. And that funds the commission. Now, this has been the practice in several countries, including South Africa and Turkey, right? But in Pakistan, it has not been enforced, right? And actually, the commission has the power within the law that anybody that owes money to the commission, then there is a variety of ways in which it can recover that, including sequestering of accounts. Now, I remember when I was there, at that time we had the competition ordinance, the law came shortly after I left, the act came shortly after I left. We had actually prepared the rules and it issued the rules how to recover money on that basis. Okay, and that is there now. And we were only waiting for the act to come into place. Now the act is there, those rules are there. I think we should enforce that act and sequester the accounts of all these agencies that have not paid their dues. And we can hold a little carrot to the government and say that in respect of the past years, since you have been funding the commission, whatever is recovered, the government can take. But from now on onwards, it should be the competition commission. But we need to enforce the law and the government has to back the commission. Unfortunately, the agency in government or the ministry of reference that we have to deal with in the government is the Ministry of Finance. And I have been dealing with this ministry since 1982 when Ghulam Ishaq was the finance minister. I have seen the huge change over the years in that. I've seen it when it was administered and managed by people like H.U. Baig, like A.G. and Kazi. It was a completely ball game, different ball game. I mean, right now you have a Ministry of Finance, which is, frankly speaking, number one, technically it knows zilch. Then, okay, if you say that you are from the Whitehall style of government, that you are generalist, but then you should have some good sense, even that that is not there. Then thirdly, you should also have some courtesy, some way, the way in which you talk to people. And I'm not talking about please, thank you, and so on. I'm talking about genuine courtesy. that is not there. And lastly, you know, that these people love flattery. So if you flatter them, you're okay. If you don't flatter them, then you're okay. So this is the state. I don't think the commission can expect much from the Ministry of Finance. It has to stand up on its own 2 feet. And the way it has to do it is, it has to develop integrity. It has to go after the money which is owed to them by the different agencies, which it can, if it because it has the power to do it. Then I think they should do it, at least if we create the necessary, if not anything, it will create the noise to make something happen. And then the commission should actually strengthen itself, because at the moment, I'm afraid it needs a lot of strength. If it strengthens, but the type of questions that Nadeem asked would not be asked, because then you would see it playing a role. And at the moment, for several years, the role has been diminished. And I think that needs to be revived. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Very quickly, I think a couple of people have raised their hands, so let me do a very quick round of last questions. After that, we will close. No more questions after this. Sarah Niz. Sarah, please.
Hello. Assalamu alaikum, sir. So my name is Sarah Nizamani, and I'm a research scholar at Applied Economics Research Center, Karachi. So my question is that since predatory prices are part of the discussion, can the panel name any example of predatory prices both nationally and globally? I would also like to add a quote by a Nobel Prize winner, Gary Becker, who said that, "I do not know of any documented predatory pricing case," close quote. I would also like to support my question with the example of A&P grocery chain in the 1940s and the Microsoft Corporation in the 1990s, were both accused of pursuing such a practice in antitrust cases, but without a single example of this process have gone through completion. Instead, A&P was giving extremely low prices and Microsoft was giving a free internet browser. And still they were accused of these monopolies and have been interpreted in that direction. So I would like to ask panel to give us examples which they have seen both nationally and globally. Thank you, sir.
Uzma Zia.
Yes, sir. So my observation is that there are so many examples of cartel in our markets, for example, sugar, flour cartel, cement, etc. So this shows that our business environment is conducive to provide firms such options to earn huge profits. And somewhere we are doing a major mistake. And as far as CCP's roles is concerned, there should be some more support should be given to CCP. And that is required.
Danish Iftikhar.
Yes, I'd like to ask a question specifically about Section 4 of the Competition Act 2010, whereby exemptions are to be sought regarding certain agreements. For instance, a supply distributorship agreement and other sort of agreements. My question specifically is, if a party is avoiding such an agreement by, for example, distributing Pakistan goods in Pakistan and entering the Pakistani market through, say, purchase orders, would that not require any exemption, and would the law not be applicable to that person or entity? And my second question is that we've heard a lot about how the Competition Commission of Pakistan's penalties are not enforceable and fines are not paid. I would like to ask that are there also instances where fines have also been paid, or all in all the cases no fine has been paid? And if there are instances of fines where they have been paid, can you name a few landmark cases in which the amount has been quite substantial? And the name of the case, please. Thank you.
Fair. Anybody wants to answer it? Ji, bataiye panel pe kaun, Akash sahab, Joseph sahab, Khalid sahab.
Let Joseph do. Go ahead first.
Joseph sahab, go ahead.
Ji, regarding this predatory pricing case. Okay, I cannot share my screen. There's a case, Lloyd versus FTC, 7th Circuit, 1966, finding predatory pricing without prices below cost. There are actually a number of cases in the US where budget airlines were flushed out by big airlines by employing predatory pricing. And I can give you some more reference to those cases perhaps after this this session. Let me see if my Zoom has been, if I have
caused problems. Yes, we can see you. We can see you. Okay. Doesn't matter. Go ahead.
So there are a number of cases globally where there is a predatory pricing cases. I don't recall that we have such a case in Pakistan so far.
So Dr. That's Joseph?
Yes.
Do you remember the LPG case where they had dropped the prices in the local market so that Saudi imports became anti-competitive and could not be imported in, so yes, they were controlling the market. You remember? Yeah, I think you'll remember that case.
Right. Thank you for reminding me.
I remember that.
Do we have an order in that case, Ahmed, if you recall?
Yes.
We had issued a penalty of 378 million in 2009.
Okay. Right. So if you can share
that was done by me, so I remember that.
Lady that asked the question.
What else? There were other questions. There were other questions, I forget now. So I did.
ये जो सवाल थे इनका कुछ जवाब आपने देना है ये जो भी पूछा था इन्होंने प्रेडेटरी प्राइसिंग और एक तो और सवाल पूछे थे ना सॉरी हैव आई गॉट माय माइक ऑफ नहीं कैन यू हियर मी हेलो कैन यू हियर मी जी मैंने कहा कि कोई इसका जवाब और देना है यार दैट्स इट
हां जी बस मेरे ख्याल वी हैव केसेस बोथ लोकली एंड इंटरनेशनली
और बताइए जी खालिद साहब एनी लास्ट वर्ड्स
Nothing. Actually, unfortunately, since we had closed, I hadn't noted the questions that were put, but the two which were important have been answered just now. There was another one that was regarding the fines payment. That same gentleman asked another question other than this, which I if he can repeat that, I'd be grateful. The gentleman who asked the fines payment question.
Yes. My question was regarding prohibited agreements. Section 4 of the Competition Act prohibits certain agreements, and an exemption has to be sought by the Commission if a party enters such an agreement. My question was that we have a client who has in a law firm, and we have a client who has supplied goods to Pakistan through purchase orders. And there isn't an agreement, but a purchase order for two years, and a gap of 1 year in which no business was conducted. So will that also fall under the prohibited agreement by any chance? That was my question. Perhaps Mr. Vikas Mir, a law expert, might be.
No, we'll come to Vikas Mir. Actually, I've not understood your question, because this was one purchase order, and after some time, there was another purchase order put in by that firm abroad or to the firm abroad? I mean, I don't know.
Well,
what are you saying?
Firm is a foreign incorporated body, and it has a distributor in Pakistan, which is incorporated in Pakistan. And the distributor does not.
Consult कर ले बाद में ये बड़ा specific सवाल है
हमारे लिए. हाँ, बड़ा specific है ये. We need to go into some details here.
If I may. I think the purchase order is not a prohibited agreement. That's the.
That's what I was thinking. It's not a
prohibited agreement. Section 4, what's essential is that the agreement has an object or effect of restricting competition. What you're doing is you are just purchasing from a foreign entity, and that's not an agreement that comes within the purview of Section 4 of the Competition Act. That's my.
Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, Dr. Sam. Very good. Now, the only question which is left is that of fines payment, any fines paid. Right, to my recollection, I think the Lahore Stock Exchange paid the fine, which was a small amount, which was not much. It was like 200,000 rupees. And I think there was one other payment, again, a very small amount. The big fines which we imposed, at least in my time, and I think subsequently too, there was no payment done. They're all tied up in court, and each one of them on the basis of constitutional worries that this commission is bad, it is unconstitutional, it doesn't come within it's the whole thing is wrong. The appointments are wrong, the commission is wrong. So it's, now those questions are there, and till those questions are actually resolved, in respect to which there have been innumerable hearings in various high courts, at least in the Lahore High Court, and then thereafter these things will be taken up, and then we might get to see the light of the day of seeing some fine paid or not. But meanwhile, as I said earlier, that the fines, despite the fact that they were not paid, had a degree of impact because of the naming and shaming that went with it, and the way in which we propagated the imposition of those fines. Right. That's all I had to say.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, folks. Okay. I think we've reached the end of the webinar. I think it is wonderful. I think a lot of questions still open in my mind, which we'll take up at the next webinar. I think, as usual, we've built too much law in this country, and that's why we are going into repeated court action, and repeated. The only people who get rich in this country, it seems to me, are lawyers. We are an over-lawyered society. And I want to take up this issue too at some point.
I think let's finish the competition law. Let's just repeal it. Let people let the... that's the best thing to do.
The main thing that we have to talk about at the next webinar is, I think, which is important, do we need deregulation to build competition? Is it the government that's at fault, and then on top of a non-deregulated market, an over-regulated market, we build a competition commission? So there is a kind of a tension there. I agree there's a need for competition law, but then you need also deregulation. If the market is not deregulated and you build a competition law, you created grounds for lawyers. And I see lawyers who I mean have lovely Mercedes, some even have Rolls Royces. They are making a huge amount of money because of the legal difficulties that we have created. And I might add, much of it is because of donors, because they keep giving us these new things without recognizing that we need a massive deregulation and a revamp of a colonial law system. But we don't change a legal system, we want to add on. So thank you,
before
folks.
The next webinar, Nadeem, kindly look at the competition law and come back and tell us what is the fault you find with it.
Okay, I will. Okay. Now, let me just say thank you very much. Saturday, we've got a great webinar on city development. We're going to talk to one of the major town planners, city deregulators from Toronto. He's actually a student of John Hickok's. So it should be a lovely webinar. So please join us Saturday at 7:30, and we'll keep you apprised of what goes on. Thank you, folks. Thank you very much. All the best. Hope you enjoyed yourself.